I chose the Galatians passage many weeks ago, and it really jumped out at me. Maybe because it is at its very core what our mission as people of Christ, as the church, should be. We are called by God to be one in Christ. Now, I guess the hard part about it is that we really want everyone to agree with us, don't we? And being one sounds like we should all agree. But that's not what Paul is saying. We're to be one, but we don't all have to have the same voice. We need to briefly examine the church in Galatia. The church is in ancient Turkey during the time of the Apostle Paul. There were religious people there in those days who just didn't get the gospel that God raised Jesus from the dead, that all of our sins were fully forgiven by the death of Christ on the cross, and that we are to live a life of love. And they also didn't get that God, what God wanted from us as human beings, it wasn't obedience to the Jewish law, but it was faith in Jesus Christ. The very core of Jewish morality was to obey hundreds and thousands of laws. That said, those laws said, don't do this, don't do that. Obey the Jewish laws of the Old Testament, and all is good. I remember as a high schooler, many of my friends didn't want to go to my Baptist church because all Baptists did was tell you what you can't do. You can't dance. That was a big one. No drinking, no playing cards or dominoes, really no fun, basically. It was hard for me because my parents believed a lot of that. And I just didn't get it. That wasn't the Jesus that I was reading about. The Jesus that I read about loved me and wanted me to have abundant life. And frankly, cards, dominoes, dancing, that was all kind of part of the abundant life. The Apostle Paul compared the Jewish laws of the Old Testament to a custodian or a disciplinarian. The Jews had all these laws, and God was forever saying, no, 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 no. Don't do this. Don't do that. When Christ came, that all changed. The essence of the Christian religion wasn't to obey thousands of rules and regulations, but to have faith in Jesus Christ. And by having faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God, and we put on the clothing of Christ, not the laws, but the traits of Christ. You know, we all learned them as children. We taught them last year in Bible school. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Our children know them. But do we? Do we remember them? But you know, there's a problem with all of that. We really do much better if we have a checklist, don't we? Checklist of what we need to do and a checklist of what we don't need to do. It's so much easier if we could just have that list and we could all agree that that list was the way it should be. We've worked pretty hard over the last several centuries to put as many rules back in church as we can. We look at the scriptures and we pull out the do's and the don'ts and we bold them and we underline them and we try to catch people in them. It's easier to identify people as Christians if they follow the rules. But part of the problem is that we don't want to claim some of the laws. And we certainly don't want to claim all of the laws. On top of that, there are some people out there that see this whole thing differently than I do. There are people out there that have some beliefs that just drive me crazy. I can't be labeled the same as them. What would people think? But Paul tells us that Christ came to change things. Now, anyone that puts on the clothes of Christ, guess what? We're in it together. We're no different. The focus is not on right or wrong, it's on faith. It's not about what you believe, it's about who you believe in. In the midst of complex immigration issues, there is neither native-born or illegal immigrant. In a society dramatically divided by income, there is neither moneyed nor working class nor poor. In a society polarized by race, there are neither people of color nor people of no color. In a season of elections, there is neither Republican nor Democrat nor independent. There is neither male nor female, nor transgender. We aren't labeled. We're followers of Christ. Those who put on the clothes of Christ, we're either followers or we're not. Our role in all of this, according to Paul, is faith. And what does that mean? Well, we can look up the word faith, and it means complete belief in something. But how do we live out faith without falling into the trap of wanting a checklist? What does faith in Jesus Christ mean? Well, to me, the first thing is believing that Christ is with me no matter what. There to strengthen me through the toughest of times. Named Emmanuel, God with us. That's so much easier to say than to actually live, isn't it? When times get hard, when we truly know, when it is the darkest of dark, that's when we know how strong our faith is. I've often said I don't know what people who don't believe do when tragedy hits. First of all, having your community of faith around you to hold you up when you're at your weakest moment is an amazing gift. Knowing that you are never, ever alone also makes those dark times not quite as dark. Some of you may know this, but a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we'd had one of those loud storms the night before. Power went out in the building, and so it threw our elevator out. And so Wednesday, the elevator guy came and turned the elevator back on and said it was all fine. So that evening, after choir practice, we had a little choir party. We were all sitting around eating, and then people began to leave. So I walked down the hall, and I got in the elevator to go up to my office. As the elevator hit the top floor, it dinged, and then nothing happened. The door didn't open. Well, I quickly punched all the buttons Nothing happened. It fell just a little bit and kind of took my heart away. And then I remembered there was a telephone in the box. So I pull the telephone out and I call the only number in my head, because I don't know phone numbers anymore. They're all in my phone. So I call Roy. I am kind of starting to panic, and I said, "Roy, I am stuck in the elevator. What do I do?" And he said, "What can I do? I'm at home." Well, I was kind of panicked. I knew Josh was in the building, but I didn't know if he'd go up the stairs or try to use the elevator. And so I just kept saying to Roy, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." I said, "Can you call somebody? You have the church directory. Can you call somebody?" I said, "I can't even call the fire department because they couldn't get in the building. So you might have to come up here and let them in." And all of these things going in my head, and the elevator drops a little bit more, and I panic a little bit more, and I'm getting wound up. And he just kept replying to me calmly, "Okay, let's see what we can do." I knew he couldn't get me out of the elevator, but I needed him to be there with me. I needed him to know that I was trapped in there. I needed him to help me calm down. I needed him to help me think through the direction I needed to go. Well, just so you know, our elevator is fine. It is designed so it doesn't fall to crash to the ground, so you can all be confident of that. It eventually kept dropping me till I got to the bottom and the doors opened and I got out. But just like my call to Roy, when we have faith in God, we have someone who is there with us during those difficult times. Someone who is there to hear our pain and our panic. Someone to help us calm down. Someone to help us decide the right thing to do. Someone who can walk through the darkness with us. I think faith is important for us to remember. But I also think that faith in some way requires some type of leap. I love swimming with our grandsons. And Blaine has really gotten to swim really well, so he's kind of a fish. But Keller is still frightened a little bit. He struggles with feeling confident in the water, and he wants to be holding on to something at all times. What an act of faith I feel when he trusts me enough to jump off the side of the pool into my arms. What an act of faith I feel when he lets go of mom or dad and swims toward me, knowing and trusting that I will grab him if anything starts to happen. Sometimes I think we believe our faith is strong, but we don't quite let go of the side of the pool. We don't quite relinquish control. And so we haven't truly made that leap of faith. And finally, I think that faith means we need to truly believe that in giving himself for us, Christ forgave our sins. That we've been made clean. We don't have to be punished. We don't have to pay a price. Christ's love cleanses us, frees us, and clears us. It's not anything that we deserve. But it's an amazing gift given to us. In my younger years, there was a song that I loved. Well, I still love it, called I Believe. I'll spare you having to hear me sing it, but here are the words. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come and show the way. I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the darkest night hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why I believe. I think what I love about the song then and what I still love today is that this song describes faith. In everything, good or bad, we can see God. We can see God's love. We can see God's strength. We can see God's compassion. We can see God's mercy. And even in the darkest, darkest times of our life, God's candle glows for us, so that we are never totally alone. May our faith be strong enough to recognize and to see that light. Amen and amen.